Now, if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at a well-known passage. There's two other parallel passages, Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and then there's also Luke chapter 8 that are parallel passages. I don't know that we'll be looking at them, but if you're in future study wanting to look at this, they're the three parallel passages talking about the parable of the sower. It says in verse 1 of Mark chapter 4, and he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea and the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no roots, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown in stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we consider this idea of sowing the seed, I pray that you would bless. As always, Lord, do that which I can't, that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn to news many times. It seems like there's never anything good. In all of the world, it seems like evil prevails. And even sometimes closer to home, that could be out and about in the world news, international news. But you turn sometimes closer to home and you read of different things. It could be drive-by shootings if you're near Chicago, or you can talk about this area or a little more extended, and you think about the drug problem and a host of many other crimes and different things that are committed. And then you come even closer, and sometimes within our own lives, you think, man, how, you know, we've been at this for so long, and it seems like even within sometimes our homes or sometimes in families, seems like the word of God just falls on deaf ears, and we worry about our kids and loved ones. And you'd think that after 2,000 years of Christianity and having the word and spreading the good news, that things would be better. But sometimes it seems that we're headed downhill. And so sometimes I think what happens is we say, what's the use? And I want to challenge us, and that's one of the things that we're coming up to. And I thought that as we're starting out, I'd preach on sowing the seed. Because in this parable, it says in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. That's our job. Sow the seed. Two simple points. And then you may say, well, why are you doing it on a communion night? Well, I think sometimes when you come in and communion, I think some of you automatically get depressed. And actually, communion shouldn't be depressing. I'm thinking about Christ. I'm thinking about his body and blood being shed for me. And because he did that, I want to share it with others. So I want to sow the seed. I want to share that with other people. And thinking about communion, what I'm planning on doing is we're going to do it at the beginning, and then a few weeks into May, we're going to do it again. And what I want us to do is see that, man, we're pausing and saying, God, bless this effort. Bless this time of going out and sharing Christ with others. Help us to be right in this aspect. Help it not to be for our glory. Help it not to be because we want praise about it. No, God, all we want to do is glorify you. And so our hearts need to be right as we start out. And I thought that would be appropriate at a communion service. So two simple points. Notice in the passage, we're not going to deal with the ground. The ground is a whole nother discussion. And there's four different grounds. As we start out, I just want you to consider, though, is my job as the sower, receiving the seed? No, that's the job of the ground. That's the heart, and it's described there for us. I can't really shove the seed into somebody's heart. Can't do it. But what I can do is sow it. I can be out there sowing it. I think all of us have, or the majority of us have studied this, and Christ was using agricultural idea, and they would have a bag, and they would just be out there, and they'd be tossing the seed. And that's what we're trying to do, is toss the seed. And what is the seed? So we're going to look at two ideas. First of all, the sower in the parable. Notice all it says, the sower soweth the word. And I notice two things that come out quickly from just this context, and you can read in Matthew 13, and you'll also find in Luke chapter 8, and the same exactly is said about it. The sower does not receive any recognition. I did not find any name listed. It just said the sower. And what we have to understand is he is nameless. There's no pride in this work. And so for us, when we're going out there and we're trying to be a sower, sowing the seed, you know what? We're nameless. It's not about us. It's all about Christ. It's all about lifting him up. It's not about how many. Oh, you know, and I'm doing a little punch card. And as I've said, even on the video, if it takes a root beer float to get you to pass out tracks, you got issues. All right. Because really, Sonic, I think, and their happy hour. All right. You can get it for a buck. All right, so, but some of it I think that's enjoyable. I think it's fun to kind of get together as a church and say, hey, let's do something together. Let's put a challenge out there for us. Let's pass out some tracts. Let's get someone to come to church. Let's be hospitable. All right, all of these things. Well, what we're trying to do is sow the seed, but it's not about us. It's all about Christ. The sower does not receive recognition. He is nameless. He's also faceless. That means any race. It's not restricted to Chesterton. It's not restricted to Indiana. It's not restricted to America. In fact, I think that's sometimes why it's good to travel overseas and to step onto a mission field, because just like the people saw in Cambodia, wow, they know God? Yes. All right, it's faceless. Any race. You can go to Mexico, right? You can go to Africa. You can go to Mongolia, right? You can go to Russia. And you know what you'll find? You'll find people that have received the word of God because somebody went out and sowed. All right, the sower, he's nameless, he's faceless. Oh, and the other one, he's ageless. I don't see any age on this. All right, guess what? You can be with your walker. You can be with your cane. I would say Tom, but you know, it'll take 5 minutes for him to get that in translation. All right. But you can be in your walker. You can pray for people. I know I was visiting with Don Fly, and Don Fly's just having a hard time, and he wants to be here with us. He's like, man, I just want to be back with the church. And I said, well, Tom, I'm not Tom. I said, well, Don, what you can do is you can pray And I shared with them a story of a lady that used to come to our church that would pray for hours every day. And I told Don, I said, she needs replaced. I said, somebody needs to pick up that mantle of prayer. And so you can do that. You may say, well, I can't do a lot. Well, what you can do is pray for the seed that is going out. It's ageless. So that's older. But what about younger? What about younger? You say, well, what age does it have to be? I don't know. Maybe the little kids you're starting up in the candy cell. Can you finish up buying and you say, hey, do you ever think about coming to church? Oh, that's kind of mixing things up there. Yeah. Because I'm a Christian all the time. We're always thinking about that. So the sower does not receive recognition. The other thing that I saw about the sower has purpose. So what was his job? To build something? Now, I'm pretty sure, it's pretty clear, he had a purpose. His job, distribute the seed. That was his job. It was not also, notice, this was not confined to the church. I don't know if it's in this passage. Nope, it's not in this one in the description. I didn't look it up if it's in Luke 8. But it says, in one of the parallel passages, the field is the world. It's not confined. So guess what? All of you in here are like, oh yeah, I'm going to pass out two or three checks. Hey, Carlos, here you go. He's got it. Okay, so get outside and pass out some checks. Have a purpose. The sower knows what he needs to do. Like, oh man, I mean, it just seems like you're always talking about getting people to come to church or giving the word out. Yes, because that's what Jesus came here to do, to seek and to save that which was saved? No, that which was lost. So get out there and do the work of sowing. Sow the seed. The sower is distributing the seed. It was not confined to the church. It was done out in the field, the world. It's easy for us to sit in our confined sanctuary while a dying world without Christ is sinking into eternity. Get busy sowing the seed. So the first thing is that we see the sower in the parable. The second thing is you see the seed. Notice what it says. The sower soweth. What is the seed? The word. The sower soweth the word. And so I want to consider the seed then. And I caution you as we start out thinking about this, and it'll just be a couple of moments thinking about this. So what are we spreading? We're spreading the seed, and that is the word. The caution is this, and that is, make sure that you're not casting out a defiled seed. That's what modern churches are starting to do. They are casting out a defiled seed. What do you mean by that? Well, what they're doing, it's not the job of the sower to change up the seed to get a better result. That's not my job. The seed is the Word of God. It is not our job to change it up. It's not our job to tweak. God needs some help there. Maybe I can help this seed a little bit so he can get a better product. His product is good. You can't get better than perfection. And that's what we have. We have perfection in the Bible. The Word of God is perfect. It's tried 7 times. That means it's perfectly good. That's what we have. So the seed is the Word of God, and we need to be careful and casting out the seed that we don't defile it with our own thoughts and words. You know what's not going to get somebody saved is my convincing argument. You know what? If they could just, maybe I'll push the Word of God aside. Maybe if God will just let me speak, actually let Him speak. His Word will not return void. He has promises in his book. He doesn't promise that my word will return void. Actually, it does. It's very empty many times. But his word, there's two things about the seed that I think of. Because what does it say? The seed or the sower soweth the word. And in the other parallel passages, it's very clear that the seed is the word of God. So as we're sowing the seed, what are we asking us to do? We're saying, get out there and give people the word of God. That's what we want to do. So there's two thoughts about the word of God. First, don't forget the power of the word of God. Many of us sitting here are saved because of the power, or we're saved because of the power of the word of God. And then we are changed and we're sitting here different people because of the word of God. Don't forget the power of the word of God. In Isaiah 55, it says that his word will go forth out of his mouth and it will not return void. Hebrews 4, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder. There's power within the word of God. It is living. It's able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word has the ability to convict of sin, reveal Christ as the Savior. We don't possess that power. But we can sow the seed and allow the Spirit to work through the Word. That's why it is important to have some tracts. It's why it's important. I remember one time someone showing me a tract and they handed it to me like, what's the deal? This is just a bunch of Bible. Like, yeah. So are you thinking that maybe you can come up with some fancy way to trick somebody, but actually I found that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Think about that. The word of God can do its work. I don't need to add all kinds of things to it. Now I should work at learning some things. That's why we have Sunday school, and that's why we have lots of things to help us to grow in grace, to grow in our doctrine. I should be working at that. But even without that, I can share with somebody the Word of God, and the Word of God can do its work fine. It's perfect. And in fact, Paul said that in Corinthians. If you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to. But in 1 Corinthians Chapter 3, Paul was having a discussion about this, and he says this: I have planted, Apollos watered, but guess what? God gave the increase. Once the seed is planted, it's up to the Lord to give the increase. And I think we need to remember that when we're sowing the seed. All right, here is the sower, and we see a couple of things about the sower. And his job is just to get out there and sow. And did you notice there's four different grounds? Only one of them was good. So technically, what is that? 75% bad news. And I think sometimes we forget that. And sometimes we're out there casting out the seed and somebody's like, forget it. Well, just keep sowing the seed. Just keep doing it. Our job is not to produce the increase. It's God that gives the increase. And you never know how much later down the road that seed, somebody else can come by, and maybe they moved, maybe they went somewhere else, and then somebody else comes and helps them out, and you hear years down the road that here's the seed that you planted and somebody else watered, but guess what? God gave the increase. It's the power of the seed, the word of God. The second thing is the potential. All right, what's the potential? The potential, again, is in that text in Mark chapter 4. All right, so I know that it falls by the wayside. Some falls on the stony ground, some on thorny. But notice what it says about the good. And this is the potential. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and guess what happens? They bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, 60, and 100-fold. Somebody that was kind of in agriculture did some study on that, and they said that it seems to indicate that one seed can multiply itself up to 3,000ths to 10,000%. That's huge. Here's one seed of mine, 30, 60, 100-fold. You know what? We've seen that happen. We've seen the seed go forth, and we don't know. Sometimes you say, oh, well, that person, they'll never hear the word of God. They'll never receive it. It's not my job. It's not my job to pick and choose the people that get to hear the word of God. My job is to cast the seed out. And that's what you see the sower doing. But I want to make sure to cast the word of God out. Why? Because of not just the power, but the potential of that seed taking root and it bringing forth fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Man, this is true in regards to plants, and it's true in spiritual sense. Once the word of God is planted in favorable soil, and that's prepared heart, it has unlimited potential. The vine, I know, produces the fruit. The branches merely hold the fruit. However, the gospel seed planted in the right heart has the potential to produce an abundance of fruit. Never underestimate what the Lord is able to do with one seed that is sown. That's why we sow the seed. We sow the seed because we cannot underestimate. We cannot underestimate what that one seed can do. That potential is there. A Sunday school teacher, Mr. Kimball, in 1858, led a Boston shoe clerk to give his life to Christ. That clerk, D.L. Moody, became an evangelist. And that evangelist in 1879 awakened an evangelist zeal when he was preaching in the heart of F.B. Meyer. And F.B. Meyer pastored a small church. An American college campus invited F.B. Meyer to come to preach to this college campus. And there sitting in the midst was J. Wilbur Chapman. And J. Wilbur Chapman was inspired by F.B. Meyer, and he engaged in YMCA work. And he went out and he employed a former baseball player named Billy Sunday. You see that chain just keeps going and going because they're just sowing the seed. And sowing the seed. And sowing the seed. And you have no idea of the potential that's out there. I have no idea, and you don't have any idea. And even if that soul, let's say that they come in, and this is what the Bible says, that there will be fruit in a heart that's prepared. A heart that is ripe will have fruit. And some will be 30, some will be 60, some 100-fold. And I don't know all that fruit means, but some of it means reaching others for Christ. And some means even sitting here, faithfully teaching your Sunday school class. And that little child, our children even sitting here. We've had a number of our own children sitting right here within our own families. And we're praying for them and praying for them. And in Sunday school class, because we have faithful, godly Sunday school teachers that are sowing the seed. That seed goes in. Mom and dad bring them faithfully to church. And they realize they're a sinner. You know what that is? That's fruit. That's fruit. It's fruit going into a good heart. And we also see little children that we bring in and teenagers that we bring in off of the routes. And why are we doing that? We're doing all of that because we want to sow the seed. And then on Saturdays, right? I've been trying to work on this with our nursing home leaders because I want us to understand, right? On a weekend, right, the average bus route is visiting, as far as people, if they have 20 people coming to church, normally they're visiting about 50 to 60 people. Right, to get 20 to come out. So you know what that means on a weekend, on Saturdays? Just on the routes, We're reaching about 1,200 to 1,500 people. And then we have nursing homes. 8 or 9 nursing homes that we're reaching. And we were just talking about, we have all kinds of nursing homes still calling us. And basically, most nursing homes run between 20 and 25. So you have about 160 to 200 older folks that are in services on the weekend. And most of you know, that's just the ones that came. There's other people that you're visiting and trying to witness to. So just on a weekend, just in the nursing homes in the community, you're talking about 300 to 400 people that we're touching too. Why? And you say, I was telling someone recently, I don't really know of any person in the nursing home that has joined our church recently. No, it's a waste. I'm not doing that anymore. It's all about us right here. But is it worth sowing the seed? Yeah, it is. Sowing the seed in the nursing homes, sowing the seed in the truck stops. I talk to those guys and they pray over those tracts and they try to hand out hundreds of tracts on the weekends. It's going out all over across America. Why are we doing that? Ain't gonna see anything from that. Really? Well, maybe one of them maybe will set it down and another person will pick it up. Because it's the potential of that Word of God. The Word of God is what we're sowing as we start the Sow the Seed campaign. As I mentioned, I couldn't think of any better way than to start it with a communion service. Because we're able to sow the seed because of His body and His blood that was shed for us. And it should make us just so thankful that we get God's left us here for a purpose, to be a sower of the seed. Not to, I understand we got to make money. I understand we've got other things to do because we have to live in this life right now. But number one should be, God, I want to please You. Why did You leave me here? You left me here to share the gospel with other people. It's one of the reasons, and to bring glory to Him. One of the reasons I bring glory to Him is through sharing the gospel. And that doesn't happen just within these walls. The sower sows the seed in the field. And that's the world. All right, I appreciate you being a good testimony here in church. I think you should be. But I'd like you to be a good testimony in the world. And that means sowing the seed. Heads bowed, eyes closed this evening.